The soft hits here. Just hard charging. Fast flying Warbird action. Strap in. This is Warbird Radio Live.
Well, good Tuesday evening to you, friends. Matt Jolly here with you for the 30th of January. It is Tuesday night, and we're having a good time here around the studio. Hopefully, you are as well, wherever you're at. Big show tonight, Warren Peach, the chief pilot from the Texas Flying Legends Museum, joins me this evening. And a lot of news just to get off the start that we wanted to cover. That's All Brother, set to fly tomorrow morning in an official news release from the Commemorative Air Force. They're saying that January 31st, that's tomorrow, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time in Wisconsin at Oshkosh, presumably. The D-Day C-47, that's All Brother, is planning to return to the sky. But wait, there's more. They are planning, as I understand it, to have it live on Facebook. So facebook.com/thatsallbrother. You can see the action as it unfolds at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. So be sure and check that out. Big news, though, for the CAF, and our congratulations to them in this endeavor, and hopefully everything will go well, and we can watch and celebrate along with them there at facebook.com/thatsallbrother. So big news for the CAF. It's been a nice week over here in the sunny area that we are in, and a cold one back across the United States. As I understand, the polar vortex is still alive. So most of you that are planning to do your winter maintenance, you're still knee-deep in that. It sounds like you got a few more weeks before you can roll that thing out of the hangar and start flying it again. We will be doing Safety Month in March, so we have one more month of regular programming before we kick off our Safety Month series of shows. And there is some traveling coming up. I'll be down at NAS Kingsville in early March. So we're going to have to figure out how we're doing Safety Month. But we're going to get through these challenges of being removed and over here in Southwest Asia, where we are working hard to bring you some cool stories from over here. A lot of that stuff, the timeline has not accelerated as quickly as we'd hoped because of, well, various security concerns, as you can imagine, operating in this environment. But trust me, every endeavor is being made to bring these stories to you, and we will as soon as we can, and it's safe to do so for everybody involved. So we're working hard on that, and it's been an exciting adventure, and I appreciate your loyalty to this station more than anything. You just can't believe it, and we, all of us that are involved in this project of telling the stories of our airmen past and present, certainly appreciate each and every one of you listening. Speaking of all of that, Warren Peach has helped us out around this station more times than I can even remember. Anytime I walk up, or any of the guys walk up to him, and the gals walk up and say, "Hey, can we have an interview? Do you mind talking to us just for a minute?" Warren always seems to accommodate. And I wanted to have him on tonight because I don't know if you've seen all of the media attention or not. You'd have to be living under a rock or over here not to see it. But the P-51C model, Lopes Hope, that they have recently restored and taken to flight and will soon be at Oshkosh, is truly a work of art. And I wanted to have Warren on to give an update on the Texas Flying Legends Museum, and also sort of a reflection back on how they did last year, because they had a lot of great events that they did. So here now, without further ado, is Mr. Warren Peach. Well, joining me now is the chief pilot for the Texas Flying Legends Museum, based in Houston, Texas, Mr. Warren Peach. Warren, good evening. Thanks for joining us tonight.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And you often spend your winters up in the cold areas of the Dakotas. So I'm hoping that you are down south where it's a little warmer. But if not, well, thanks for coming on nonetheless. And I apologize about the chill that you're experiencing right now. But you're used to that, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. It's where I'm from, and I've still got a business in Minot, North Dakota, so I spend an awful lot of my time up here, and I am in Minot right now, where it's a balmy minus 3 Fahrenheit.
That's a little different than where we're at right now. I can tell you that it was shorts weather yesterday, but that's just part of it. I want to get into this because the Texas Flying Legends Museum, one of the greatest ambassadors of the mission that we all know and love, which is truly telling the stories of our veterans, both past and present, really. And you guys do this in a really unique way, where you have a collection of aircraft that share time between various sites and at air shows. And you had a really successful 2017. You want to hit some of the high points of that for folks that may not know your organization already.
Yeah, well, you know, we're proud to be able to go around and help other museums and other organizations that don't always have the wherewithal to display the airplanes in motion. You know, there's a lot of museums and veterans organizations around that maybe have an airplane on display or something, but it takes a lot to keep them flying. So we're able to bring them to different places. We started out last spring at Breckenridge, Texas, and with Ezel Aviation in the background, who they're the ones restoring our Bearcat right now. And we did our sixth ship show at Breckenridge and had a very successful show and headed home with the airplanes. Unfortunately, on the way home, the Spitfire had a oil pressure issue, and we ended up stopping short of our destination in Minot. We had to do an engine change there, but that's all part of the game, I guess. And so we got a new engine in the Spit, and we brought the fleet up to Minot to the Dakota Territory Air Museum, where they were on display while having maintenance done, and they were here for about 2 months. And then we went out to Maine, and we did three shows in Maine with a sixth ship. And from there, we came back and went to Reno, and we did the air show, or again, the sixth ship air show at Reno. And in the process, as long as we had four of the fighters there, we qualified them and had a chance to race at Reno, which was pretty exciting. You know, kind of a lifelong dream. Everybody, I guess not everybody, but at least me, one of those things that was on a bucket list that someday it'd be fun to run around the course at Reno and see what it looked like, and it was definitely exciting.
We all saw a lot of that, I think. We saw Bernie running around in the P-40, too, Bernie Vasquez.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
looked like they had a good time. I have to admit that.
We did. Yeah. We did, yeah. It was Mike Schiffer in the course there, and Mark Murphy and Alan Miller shared the Little Horse, the P-51, and Bernie in the P-40, and I was out there, so we had a great time, and the guys flew great shows. We did a lot of practice, and they were definitely up to speed and did a good job. And we moved the fleet from there. We took them down to Edwards Air Force Base, where they were used for all various different celebrations for the 70th anniversary of the U.S. Air Force, and for the celebration of I don't remember how many years for supersonic flight, but they had the airplanes on display there. And Bernie and I went over to Colorado Springs and flew a show on the P-40 and Spitfire. And we took the whole fleet to Nellis for Aviation Nation and did that show, which again worked out well for us. And then we put them into winter hibernation, and that's kind of where we're at right now. We're working on airplanes.
I think it's a great idea. Now you rolled out Lopes Hope, the C model Mustang here, and I'm hoping that this is going to Oshkosh in the summer. Is that still the plan?
We are planning to take Lopes Hope 3rd to Oshkosh. We're also hoping, and this is just in the planning stages, to take it to the Udvar-Hazy Center in Washington, D.C. in May to let the folks there have a look at the restoration and continue to honor Don Lopez, who was such a big part of that museum after his Air Force career. And so we'd like to get it down there. And then, as you said, Oshkosh, we hope to have it there for the week along with the Bearcat. And we're going to participate in the DAX Over Normandy event, so we hope to have our C-53 in Oshkosh this year also to help support that event. And that's, I think, the kickoff this summer for taking, I think Eric Zipkin said they're up to 23 DC-3s, C-47s, C-53s, C-41s all the different variants of that airplane going to Europe for the 75th anniversary of D-Day.
Let's talk about the history of yours, because we've all seen it around around Warbirds in Review, but for the folks at home who haven't seen it, give us the little the elevator speech, if you will, on your airplane.
Yeah, well, it's a unique airplane. It's a C-53 Sky Trooper, which is just another one of the variants of a very famous iconic airplane. And our airplane stayed at home with the factory and was used as a test bed for many different things. They had full span power flaps, and they had I think heated leading edges and all kinds of things on the airplane, trying different things. So it kind of spent its life at the factory as a test bed, and then afterward was converted to airline configuration as a DC-3A, and was around the corporate world mostly. It wasn't used very much. It's a real low time airplane, and really, and because of that, very nice shape. I mean, it's really in good condition. It's not all beat up, but we ended up with it. I think Michael Chowdhury had it for a while, and it went to EAA, and we bought it from the Odegaard family and had it repainted and put an engine on it, put some updated avionics in it, and started flying it. It's a great airplane.
And you've been enjoying it ever since. Is there an aircraft that surprises you still to this day, Warren? Somebody asked this question when I mentioned casually that we were hoping to have you back on. They said, what airplane surprises Warren Peach even to this day after he's flown it? Is there one that you really enjoy that just keeps jumping back at you?
Oh, yeah, you can't see, because that's such a tough question. And one that I ask myself, I don't blame people for asking, that question, and I feel so fortunate to be the guy in that position to get asked that question, and I wish I could give an answer. We always joke about the Wildcat, and the Wildcat is a really fun airplane to fly. It's just, when you hit the start button, it's like it wakes up ready to fight, and it makes them noises, and it flies good, and it's pretty nice to see out of them, and it's not the airplane that you walk up to thinking, this thing's really going to be fun to fly, because it's not exactly beautiful, until you get to know it a little bit. But it's a great airplane. The P-40 is a really nice flying airplane. They're all good, right? It's a different, for me, it's kind of a different mood for every airplane, and I was a huge fan of books about the Battle of Britain and history about the Battle of Britain and things as a kid, so just the chance to be around the Spitfire is a big thing for me. And so I guess as far as saying which airplane surprises me, I guess they all make me smile.
Yeah, right.
And maybe the Wildcat's the one that's the biggest surprise, because it doesn't fly like it looks.
Any chance of you and Greg Shelton getting together? Wouldn't that be a show? Watching the two of you guys have fun.
I don't think I can keep up with Greg. He flies that thing pretty darn good.
I think you can. every time I get together with, and I'll leave names out of this, some announcer friends, the question always comes up when Warren Peach comes up. It's, do you think he'll ever do the T-Craft routine again? And I know that has nothing to do with Warbirds, but for folks that never had a chance to see you fly, I'm here to tell you, that was really fun. It was just fun to watch, and it was an amazing act.
I flew two shows in it last summer, and two the summer before that. I fly it at my house all the time. I love that airplane. I built it when I was a teenager, and it's very comfortable to get in and go fly. And so I wouldn't say that I won't fly it again in an air show. I don't know how often I will, but I still practice in it fairly often. And that and the mid-wing both. I keep them at my house. And they're nice, good way to stay sharp flying.
I don't know how you could be dull flying that thing. I mean, just watching you and how you maneuver that thing, it's surprising for anyone that you were talking about that word. It is surprising to see that thing fly and perform the way it does. You knew what you were doing when you were a kid.
That's a great airplane.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you really knew what you were doing. And you, of course, you have sort of a flying family up there in North Dakota, don't you?
Well, my brother, I think everybody knows the Jelly Belly routine and the Interstate Cadet landing on the camper top and the Comedy Act and losing the aileron and Dead Stick Tack. Kent has been doing that since, I don't know,
quite a while.
74, something like that. And, you know, he's a little bit older than I am, and I don't think I've seen anybody that flies any better than Kent does. He does a heck of a job. And my dad and my older brother were both air show guys. My dad started flying shows in the late 60s and did that until he passed away in 95. And so we've, you know, definitely been fortunate in aviation to be able to do the things that we've done. And for me, the people that I got to grow up around and just to be associated with all the different facets of aviation has really been a wonderful thing for me, you know. And our museum up here in Minot is, I think we've got 55,000 square feet of indoor heated sprinkled display now, and 17 acres outside and like 60 airplanes on display. So we're pretty busy trying to keep that history out there in the public. We do a lot of kids education stuff up at the museum and some veteran honorary stuff, and it's pretty neat.
I think people often forget that you have that museum up there, that it's a local institution, but you know, you've been so busy with Texas Flying Legends that people often they lose sight of that.
And this is where the Texas Flying Legends started. I mean, those folks came up to buy the Mustang that Dr. Hank Reichert had that we flew up there for years, and we gave them all rides in it, and they saw our museum and saw the things we were doing with kids and veterans, and decided to try to duplicate that a little bit down in Houston and around the country. And that's when we came up with the traveling museum idea. Was, you know, we kind of talked about how important that Mustang had been to us over the years to bring activity to our museum, and by museum we're able to bring that activity to other events and museums around the country.
I think it's turned out well. I want to ask you something, Warren, that I think is important from your perspective, a guy that flies so much. As you know, we have a lot of operators who listen to this. We have a lot of enthusiasts who listen to it, but a lot of operators that listen to this program, and I think it's always important to get this this take. You know, coming up in another month or so, we're going to be doing our entire month devoted entirely to safety. But I'm just curious, what keeps a guy like yourself, what are you thinking about when you get in an airplane? What keeps you safe those first few weeks of flying in the spring, but more importantly, all season long? Is there a mantra? Is there something that you do that you do every time just to keep that front of mind and top of mind? What is that, Warren?
Well, you know, there's a few things that the airshow industry has recognized over the years that are really important. And, you know, obviously currency in anything is important. I mean, currency on a bicycle is important. But, you know, it's important here, and you have to recognize how current you are. And that should be part of your boundaries, I believe, you know. You're doing that, how much crosswind you want to take and how hard you want to fly and what you want to do and how much practice you've had in the routine that you're about to do in front of folks. I think the next thing would be, you know, a little humility goes a long ways. And then maybe giving yourself a couple of seconds before you do what you think would really be cool when you're about to do something that is outside your norm, you better think about it pretty hard before you do it. And, you know, obviously the best boundary you can have is lots of altitude before you do something, and go do that enough times to know what the outcome can be if you make a mistake someplace in a maneuver or whatever. But
yeah, well,
you know, going out and getting this in the springtime, and a little spring training goes a long ways, and that gets right back to the basics of any airplane. That's finding the all the different configurations, where the airplane is going to stall, what it's going to do if you're a little bit uncoordinated, and kind of try to go through that stuff and just get back being friendly with the airplane before you get down next to the ground.
Yeah, I like that. Well said. Go knock the rust off. And I like that idea, though, of a little humility goes a long way, too. That's another great line. Yeah. Well, look, you got a whole lot of stuff going on in a busy year ahead of you with Texas Flying Legends and, of course, at your own museum. How can folks follow along? Because I know you guys do a lot of neat stuff up there at the Dakota Territory Museum. But give us how we can... a good way to stay in touch with you up there at both operations.
Well, the museum does have they've got a web page and stuff, and I gotta tell you, man, I am terrible at social media.
Well, look, we're gonna put it right there. We'll put it right there in the show story. We'll just tell them to click on the link. But Texas Flying Legends does as well.
Yeah, and they both museums have websites, and Bernie does a pretty good job of staying in view on Facebook and stuff. I know that, but I'm going to tell you how bad I am at making myself available to folks. And it's not because I don't want to talk to people. It's just I'm not very good at that computer.
Well, we appreciate everything you're doing and having fun. I'll tell you, one of the coolest memories I have of Texas Flying Legends was the story that we did with the Stackler brothers, where you guys helped and you actually took you actually took one of the brothers with you.
You put that thing together, and you and I'm trying to remember the guy's name from out by Dayton with the Waco Club.
With Andy Hines and everybody knew him. Yeah, we had a great time though.
Yeah, you guys had that thing kind of lined up, and we got to be part of that, and Casey had Herb in the back seat of the Mustang, and his brother was in the B-25, and I was following in the P-40. And I always said I think I had the best seat because I got a chance to look across through the Mustang and look at Herb looking at his brother in the B-25, and those two giving each other the thumbs up and the victory sign. And that was a special thing, and it turned into a great relationship with Herb. You know, we were able to host him at Oshkosh in 2013, and got some great video and stuff, and that's all on the website for Texas Flying Legends Museum. And you know, it just that was a special occasion, and I got a big huge picture hanging on the wall of the FBO here that we've got of that formation with those two brothers in there, and I enjoy telling that story.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
That's what we're about.
I agree, and you know, those opportunities are still out there, but they're becoming harder and harder to seize, and I think that theirs was such a great story, and I'm looking forward to doing something down the road if we can figure something out. It'd be fun to do again, but I'll never forget Herb turning to Casey and saying, well, now, how am I supposed to sit in your lap? That was still one of my favorite stories of him. he'd never seen a back seat in a Mustang, you know? But
it just didn't make sense. Just,
you couldn't figure that out. Tell you what, though, he might try in a P-47 if he thought he could get a ride if Herb was still around. I guarantee it.
Yeah. But,
what a great time.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on, Warren, and giving us the update on Texas Flying Legends. You can find him online. You can find him at an air show near you, hopefully, by following along with them via their website and on social media. But Warren Peach, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Matt. And enjoy the scenery where you're at. Thank you.
I'll do it. And before we go tonight, I wanted to bring Dave Homewood and Grant McCarron on because they are up next with an all-new Wings Over New Zealand show. Good evening, guys. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Matt. Hey, again.
And Grant, nice to hear you.
Thanks for letting us in.
Yeah, well, you seldom get to stay up so late with us. We always have to pre-record your segment, but it's good to have you guys both back on tonight. Tell us what's coming up on your show this evening.
Tonight we're going to catch up on a little bit of the Warbird news around Australia and New Zealand, and then we'll hear an interview that I pre-recorded with Cora McRae of Erawood. That's the company that makes the all the woodwork for the likes of mosquitoes and tiger moths and SE5s, and one of their more exciting projects that's coming up, hopefully starting this year, is the de Havilland Hornet.
Wow. So we may actually see a hornet in the air with a mosquito at some point, which would be incredible. When was the last time that happened? I mean, that had to have been World War II.
It had to be the 1950s probably or late 40s. And this particular aircraft that's being rebuilt as a Sea Hornet, so it has the folding wings, which is an added bonus. Gorgeous aircraft, the Hornet. I mean, it was like a refined mosquito. It was a bit smaller. As if you could make the mosquito any better, and they actually managed it.
Yeah, they figured it out.
Yeah, they made it a single seater, didn't they? The Hornet's a single seater. It's just
really, really interestingly, there actually is a second seat in the Hornet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll hear that in the interview.
No, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing about it. Well, Grant and Dave, thank you for doing this. And Grant, you've been on a while. It's been a while since we've had you on. What have you been up to? Anything you want to share with our audience tonight?
I've been kept pretty busy working with defense in the management side of things. System manager for I look after all the infrastructure, the vendor contracts, finance, and all that kind of stuff, and the IT program of works related to the systems that do all the aeronautical information. So it's exciting and it's fun and it's right up my alley. It's IT and aviation and geek stuff. It's really cool. It's kept me very, very busy and a lot of running around, jumping around the country a fair bit. But, really, really loving that. And a little bit of balloon flying, a fair bit of work with the Australian Ballooning Federation, where I'm the ops manager on a part-time basis. And, had a pretty good Christmas, New Year as well.
I'm glad to hear it. Dave, what about you? Anything you want to add? I know it's been a while, so jump in there if you need to.
I've been just plodding along as usual. I've been doing a little bit of just the last week or so. I've been doing some veteran interviews, and I put one of those up just a few days ago. So people who follow the regular Wings Over New Zealand show, the podcast, if you haven't been there for a while, there's quite a lot of stuff there in the archive now, and there's a lot of veteran stuff and World War II veterans and things like that. And I did a Vietnam War veteran a couple of weeks ago as well. So, yeah, that's keeping me busy.
Well, good to hear your voices, and look forward to hearing your show here in just a few minutes, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
I'm really enjoying it in the green room. I didn't realize you had such a range of beers here.
I'm telling you, we go all out. All right, guys.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Thank you.
Well, my thanks to Warren Peach and to Dave and Grant for coming on. Going to be a great show tonight as the Wings Over New Zealand show kicks off here at the top of the hour. And, of course, that'll be available via podcast right after the show is completed, just like this one. If you're not a fan of the podcast download, please do so. A lot of you listening in on the podcast downloads, we're so happy to have you. As I said earlier, the support that each and every one of you provide this radio station, it does not go unnoticed, whether it's on Facebook or social media or sharing this stuff. We just really appreciate it. Nobody is getting paid around here. We're just doing this because we absolutely love it, and we have been doing it for almost 10 years now, and it's just a great reward to get to do this for you and get to bring these stories to you, because we truly believe at the end of the day that these stories that these aircraft tell, they really matter. And the only way that we will further this line of thinking is to continue to tell these stories and keep this stuff out there and preserved for the next generation to hear. So my thanks to each and every one of you. My thanks to Warren Peach. And we'll talk to you next week. Be sure to thank a veteran if you see one and let them know how much you appreciate their gift of service. Will you do that? That has some extra special meaning this week for us over here. But please thank a veteran if you see one, or if you see somebody in uniform, just walk up to them and tell them you appreciate it. Because believe me, they are doing something that none of us deserve. And I truly believe that we don't deserve our military. We are so blessed to have some of the finest men and women ever currently serving. So if you see them, tell them thanks. We'll talk to you next week. So long for now, everyone.